You know, America really is a beautiful place, isn't it? And I've had the opportunity in my years of preaching of the gospel to go all over our nation and preach and teach the word of God in I don't know how many states, not all of them, but a number of them. And I appreciate the love of God who has blessed our nation. And I mentioned to you last week, we are a nation that really is blessed of Jehovah God. I want to talk to you this morning about core values. You know, you and I all have things in our lives that we value more than others. And certainly we all value this great country. And over the last few days, we have been reminded again of the great liberty that we have as American citizens. And I'm so thankful and grateful unto God that He has blessed our land. And He has so many, many times. You know, when you think about all the great blessings that we have received at the hand of God, you have to have what we call core values, things that you value more than you do something else. We should really treasure the great fact that we are citizens of the United States of America, but we should also even more treasure the fact that we are citizens of the kingdom of our God. That we are Christians and that we hold those spiritual values. And the three most important issues you will face in your life begin with priorities. Who is first in your life? And they are those three. First of all, our mission, and then our vision, and then our values. You know, we all have a mission. And we need to make sure that our mission lines up with our vision that came from God. You know, the mission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. Someone said that values are like lighthouses. They are signals giving us direction, meaning, and purpose in life, and it is so true, isn't it? You know, when we think about our American values, and there are many of them, the fact that we live in a country that offers us freedom like we experience this morning to come and worship our God and praise His holy name. A nation is known by what they value most of all. And one of the things that I kept hearing over this weekend is the fact that we are a nation under God. But what are your core values? I will tell you that one question a number of years ago changed my mind about how I look at life. Sometimes we just take for granted the things that we enjoy from day to day without ever thanking God and saying, God, it is because of your hand that we enjoy the great bounties of life. But we know that our nation has been in decline and is in some facets today. But we know that with the help of God that we can actually revive and reestablish our core values. Sometimes we lose our values and our values change. It's amazing to me how many people today are calling those things that are evil in the sight of God, they're calling them right and good. And it amazes me how they call the good things bad. And their words are so hurtful, and their words are so destructive. And it is a shame, isn't it? But America remains the great nation that we are. And when we talk about core values, you could call them principles. That means that there is a fundamental truth, a moral rule that governs your behavior. All of us move and live by what we consider to be our moral behavior. How you live is governed by the Word of God. You could call core values ethics, standards, ideals, or morals. And oh, how we need to go back and reestablish and revive many of those things. And we should be praying constantly for a revival in the great nation in which we reside, for a revival of great biblical values that we find in God's eternal word. We must take a closer look at the things that we should value in our lives. Secondly, we should acknowledge and value our Christian freedoms. You know, God has given us free, and in the book of John, the 8th chapter, Jesus said, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." And you and I are free in many respects. Think about it. That we can call upon God at any moment, at any time, and know that God is going to be there listening to us and reaching out to us as we reach out to Him. We know that we have the freedom of forgiveness of sin. You see, had it not been for the death of Jesus on the cross, and when we fail to value that, we know that we are a nation heading downward, not upward. One of these days, I want to go to heaven, and I want to live with God and be there eternally, forever and forever. And I know it's based upon how I look and how I value my Christian freedoms. Terrorist attacks can shake the foundation. Someone said of our buildings, but they cannot touch the foundation of America. Because this nation was founded upon none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, when you go back in the annals of history and you look at the nation of Israel, and you realize how God chose Israel, and it was through him that the Christ would come into our world, and he did. The Bible says at that particular time, God sent forth his Son, made of woman, born under the law. And at the right time, he established the nation of Israel. I believe 250 years ago, God established this great nation that we call America, and we should forever be thankful for the great freedoms that we have, the freedom to speak out for Christ. You know, there are many nations of the world today that will not allow that. You don't dare speak out for Jesus in a world that is engulfed by Islamic doctrine in many of the Arab states. But we can praise Jesus and thank God for the freedom that we have. Many Americans have taken for granted their blessings as a nation and as a Christian. You know, every church ought to have core values. We have core values in this church. We all understand what is important and what is not. We understand what is a principle that must be followed. We understand ethically how we are to live our lives, but why would that be true? Because many have grown stale in what they value. You know, it's amazing, isn't it? I think it was Ronald Reagan who said, "We're only one generation away from extinction," and how true it is. When we don't uphold those great values in our country, and when we don't uphold those godly values that we read about in the Word of God, then, as I said, we start growing stale, and those blessings become meaningless to us. They need to be brought before us from time to time. And the bottom line is, what are your core values? Think about it. Why doesn't America fear God? Well, because Christians don't fear God. You know, Solomon said the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. The commandments of God supersede any law of our nation. It's true. The nation has established laws. And they have established laws that are beyond what God commanded. I don't agree with them. And I will share some of those with you. But we have a way of following the world and not the Word. And that's why Paul in the book of Romans chapter 12 said, don't be conformed to the world. We have a tendency to conform to the world. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why doesn't America fear God? Because we worship tolerance than truth. And we do. We tolerate the evil sometimes that is in the world instead of speaking out about it. Don't worship tolerance, but honor the truth of Jesus Christ. We take no stand and we make no difference. You know, Jude, in that little book over there right before Revelation, one chapter, said that we are to make a difference. And we ought to be the people of God who make a difference in the world in which you and I live every day. And we let the news media determine what we should believe. We let Hollywood actors determine what we ought to espouse. Instead of allowing the Word of God and the great heroes of the Bible to dictate what we are to do and how we are to live, we have to stand up and speak out for our God. If you love Him, one day you're going to stand before God in judgment. And when you stand before the God of heaven, how will you respond when He says, "What did you do to make America better? What did you do to make the church what it must be? What did you do in your life to enhance your spiritual growth and to help you understand that there must be core values in life?" From Psalms 36 and verse 1, we read, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before His eyes." You ever heard people say that? I have. I've had people tell me they're going to hell and it didn't bother them at all. Well, it will one of these days. I had a neighbor many years ago who said to me that she did not believe in God and did not believe that there was a hell. I'm going to tell you, just because you may not believe in God and you may not believe in hell does not circumvent the fact that they are real. They are real. But what does it mean? What does it mean to fear God? You've heard that many times. You've heard me preach it. But what does it mean to fear God? If Solomon said to fear God and keep His commandments is the whole duty of man, what does it mean to fear God? Well, the word fear means respect and honor. It doesn't mean that you're terrorized or that you're afraid of God. I'm not afraid of God. I love God. He loves me. And I am delighted to be in His presence and in the presence of His family this morning. But to fear God means that you respect God. It means that you don't take His name in vain. That you don't use the word God and then add an adjective like damn or whatever it happens to be to the end of that name or that other word. It means that you respect God. It means that you don't blame God. I don't blame God for anything. I uphold Him. I love my God. He has blessed me over and over and over again. He's blessed our country. And He has blessed you as an individual. It means to respect the Almighty, to love and respect everything that He made. That means that you treat people with kindness and love. You want to honor God? Honor His Word. Honor His church. Honor those who preach and proclaim the sacred message of Jesus Christ our Lord. Not with worldly honor, but spiritual honor. That's what Christ said, by the way. Psalm 33 and verse 12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom," listen to this, "whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." That's why I said America is a nation that was established by God 250 years ago. People talk about the framers of the Constitution and the Thomas Jefferson and the Declaration of Independence. But in reality, it was God who built this nation. And we must never, ever forget it. For Psalms 144 and verse 15 says, "How blessed are the people who are so situated, and how blessed are the people whose God is the Lord, And then Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Romans 3:18 says that there is no fear of God before their eyes. There's no respect. When was the last time you heard the average person on the street talk about God? When was the last time you even began to stop and think about the great God of heaven and what He has done and what He is even now doing in your life as an individual? Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked men rule, the people groan. And isn't it so? Shouldn't there be a return to the great mores of society and to the values and to the core doctrines that made our nation great? Values like ethics and respect and honesty and integrity. I want to tell you something this morning, whether you believe this or not. Our loyalty is not to a political party. It is not to the Democrats. It's not to the Republicans. And by the way, God is neither a Democrat nor a Republican. But I'm telling you that we must be a church that does not subscribe to a religious party, but to that which is right. That is the issue. That should be the core value. And what I do in life is based upon my values. But thirdly, we must uphold the law of God above all else. And that's true in anything. For Peter and John said to the magistrates in the book of Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, that we must obey God rather than men. And that is so true, folks. We must obey God above all else, even when it comes to God's design for marriage. We live in a world today that subscribes to same-sex marriage, which is condemned by God. Supreme Court ruled it's okay. But there is a court that is much more supreme than the one who rules in Washington. And that is the court of our God. And we have to value God's design for the family. That is one of my core values. In Genesis 1:27, so God created man in His own image, and in the image of God He created him and made them male and female, and He created them. Genesis 2:24, therefore man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. When I think about God's law concerning marriage, I think of Leviticus 18:22. When I think of the Supreme Court's decision, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination in the sight of God. Listen to chapter 20 and verse 13. And if a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, and they shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them, no one else. And that is God's law. That is God's law. But we still have some people today, like there were in Isaiah's day, in Isaiah 5:20, that call evil good, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for that which is bitter. And those who call good evil prefer darkness over the light of Jesus Christ our Lord. For in John 8 and verse 12, he said, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's a big problem in America today, isn't it? And God says, woe unto them. Listen to the words of Christ in Luke 12, 1 through 3. You don't hide from God. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetop. Isn't that amazing? But fourthly, if you value religious freedom, thank God and get involved. Start doing more in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Start serving Him outside the confines of this building. I went into a church one time and I was conducting a revival there. And I actually saw a sign on the building that said, enter to worship, depart to save and to serve. And that's what we are about, friend. It's about serving and saving, isn't it? And our loyalty needs to be first and last always to our Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom. For Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. First the kingdom. And God shall bless your life with abundant, bountiful blessings. But we have a lot of people today that want to exalt the nation and stamp out the cross. But the cross must be supreme. It must be. And in Psalms 11 and verse 3, David said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Consider that. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Galatians 5 and 1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Maintain your liberty and be thankful for it. For what is our hope? It's not in government. I want our government to be honest and to be a government of integrity and to be one that's honest and one that loves God. But my hope is not in America. My hope is in heaven and my hope is in God. It's not in government. It's not even in the military. It's not even in the genius of Americans, if there be those that you could call genius. But Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2 tells it, that I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. For my help comes from the Lord and the maker of heaven and earth. And then I like 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name, you know, you make that applicable, can you not, to those of us today? We're called by the name of Christ, aren't we? We're Christians. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn to God and turn from their wicked ways and their immoral core values, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. You know, the First Amendment, they've been talking about it all week, but our First Amendment, the freedom of religion, is under serious assault. And it is. There are those who would like to take it away. There are those who would like to resurrect evil in this country and that which instead of that which is right. Our nation flipped several years ago. They did. They started killing babies in the womb. But I'm glad it slipped back, aren't you?
Amen.
A few years ago, they said, well, it's all right for a man to marry a man or a woman to marry a woman. And they flipped. Because God doesn't teach that. He says it's wrong. I'm hoping it'll flip back. Is there anything we can do to restore the values that we hold dear? If you have allowed your core values to be corrupted, is there anything that you can do to bring them back? And the answer to that is yes. Yes. We can restore our values. The values that we once held dear. Some people say, well, we just need to restructure our foundation. We need to make our foundation on the country. No, we ought to make our foundation the Christ. For the book of 1 Corinthians 3 and 11 says, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is no foundation comparable to the foundation that is in our Savior. And we must say, today I will be responsible not just for myself, but for my family, for my church, for my country. And Job said it, Abraham Lincoln embraced it. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. And we must return to our core values and understand what is righteous in the sight of God and not be afraid to say it. You don't have to be intimidated to say it. You believe God? If you believe God, say it. And we can make our nation strong, our church strong, and our own lives strong. How many more years will we be able to celebrate our independence? That's why I say you don't have party loyalty. We honor God, and we want to do His will. That, my friend, is what it means to have core values. Core values, principles that are not corrupted. May God help us to become Christians and to fight for the great freedom that we have in Christ our Lord by humbly obeying the gospel and by being baptized for the remission of our sins. And then committing our lives to live for Him according to His will. Matthew chapter 25. I ask you today, this morning, every person in this assembly to take a look at your life. And ask yourself the question, what are my core values? What is so valuable to you that you would never break it? You would never give it up? That's what we're talking about. And if you're not a Christian, the greatest thing in the world is to become a child of God and honor Him with your life, however long it may be, upon this earth. We're going to stand and sing our invitation song, and perchance if there are those in our audience today who are not Christians and you want to join us in the Christian march, and we are certainly welcoming as a congregation. And if you've turned your back upon God as a Christian and you've not allowed Christ to rule in your life and your core values have been distorted, and I hope that you would come to Him this morning penitently, asking Him to forgive you and claim that great promise that He has made to all of us. While we stand, while we stand.